Welcome to the Nate and Dookie podcast. I'm your host, Dookie Shed.
Are you regretting this already?
Honestly, it's probably the best decision I made all day so far.
Also known as Hunter Hughes, I'm joined by my co-host, Nathan Sharp, a.k.a. Nate Wants to Battle.
Howdy. Thank you, Robot McDenim Boot. It's always a pleasure to have our favorite bot, our favorite AI, to tune into
Howdy,
the show.
Partner.
And we're actually glad you joined us because totally planned, definitely a great segue. We wanted to talk to you about AI. We're two white dudes with a podcast, so obviously we gotta talk about AI, right?
Don't know my boots from my britches, so I'll leave this up to y'all.
Well, thanks for that, Cowboy Cyborg.
What was his name?
Cowboy Cyborg?
It was like Robot Jeans McDenim Boot or something.
Right. What? Yeah, Robot McDenim Boot.
Robot McDenim Boot. Oh, a charming Southern gentle bot. Always a pleasure to have. But actually, yeah, we kind of want to talk about some AI stuff because we were talking about totally, a little earlier.
And it was unplanned. He just said you intro it, and that I took that opportunity to act like a complete weirdo, as usual.
I take and the time to act like an incomplete weirdo. Honestly, that's just
that. You know, is this a weirdo that has his life figured out, or is this a struggling weirdo?
These are the questions.
But we wanted to talk about the great debate. No, not anything politically relevant in this country or anything.
Yeah,
but we want to talk about
something the world's leading up to be a great political debate.
Yeah,
it actually already is very politicized. It's just politicized hypotheticals and like kind of. So yeah, we're talking about AI and like bots and all that stuff.
And at what point does AI, you know, at what point can AI be considered alive, sentient?
Like, did you see that recently a Google AI claimed it was sentient?
I saw the headline. I was not sure of the deets.
Well, I think that kind of is the deets in that a bot.
I mean, that's a pretty big deet.
That is a pretty big deet. And then some people like got, you know what? We literally have the internet, but I don't feel like citing sources. What am I, a well-educated podcaster?
We need to make up a third guy that's like that works live with us while we record, and we tell him to do stuff. But
Leave a comment about who our third guy is named.
But for now, he's just third guy.
Yeah, third guy. Look that up. Okay. Anyway, they looked it up. I think that like some people were quote unquote silenced or let go from Google when they said AI became sentient and made all kind of like some kind of big old buzzwool about it. Not that I know that, but either way, supposedly an AI is claiming it's sentience. So right off the bat, what's going through your head about a bot saying, hello, I am a being?
All right. Now let's break that down. Okay. Could you program a teeny tiny microchip, hook it up to a speaker with a recording that says, I am sentient?
Mm-hmm.
That's the most basic way to make that happen.
Right.
Obviously, that's not sentient.
Yeah.
That's the simplest little computer.
Oh, yeah. I can literally make my smart device just repeat the words, I am sentient.
Yeah. And does that make it sentient? Absolutely not.
No, not at all.
But this is, I mean, that's really what you got to know is the extent to which this AI is self-aware.
Mm-hmm. Because there's already, what is it? Like smart learning, robotic learning. Like programs can learn. They do. But it's literally about finding what is considered real life. So this, here's the thing. This bot, I believe, claimed it was sentient, but Google goes, it's not actually sentient. It's just like learning, and it just claims it's sentient because it can mimic the attributes of sentience. So
it's smart enough to say, I see what sentience looks like, and I can read the definition of sentience, and therefore I can replicate sentience. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm sentient because I'm checking all the boxes.
Yes.
Of sentience.
And then the question is that sentience?
So, at some point, I'm going to get into this Star Trek episode.
Dude, funny enough, you said that. I, too, have Star Trek AI stuff. I've been watching, what's the one?
Strange New Worlds?
No, it's an older one. It's like late night. Voyager, yeah.
Okay, there was a good AI episode. Was it The Doctor?
Yes. Oh, man. So good. Also,
that's my second favorite example.
Yeah, by the way, I'm finally like kind of watching a Star Trek. This is a total side note. Because everyone talks about Star Trek and how good it is. I never doubted it. I just never got into it. And I finally like sat down and watched just a few episodes. I didn't realize how like philosophy forward Star Trek is.
Oh my God.
You told me about a couple episodes. It's like, wow, that sounds pretty deep. I thought it was like a more of a Star Wars thing where it's like, it's still the story and themes and morality are still there, but it's mostly a vague, like kind of good versus evil thing with like kind of sub moral plots in it. Like that's how I feel about Star Wars. It's mostly about like the characters and the alliances and et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Star Trek was going to kind of be the same thing. But every episode I've watched, it's honestly just like really, really extremely forward thinking, especially like it's weird. It's so cliche to say, oh, a show about space was ahead of its time, but it really was because it brings up a lot of interesting moral debate that like I didn't even think about until like years and years after those episodes aired. But that's beside the point. Yes. That's all to say we both have AI points brought up by Star Trek.
Well, that's awesome. I'm like actually really stoked that you're getting into Star Trek. Mm-hmm. And Voyager is probably my second favorite series. So and the Doctor is one of the best characters on that show. And he is another great example of is this AI sentient? Is this a life, basically?
Mm-hmm.
And so the three points they bring up in the Star Trek episode that I'm going to talk about is intelligence, self-awareness, and consciousness.
Mm.
Those are the three things that they claim are required for sentience.
Say those again.
Intelligence.
Okay.
Self-awareness.
Okay.
And consciousness.
Mm. I feel that third one is where the questions come in.
That's the toughie.
Yeah.
Because obviously a computer can be extremely intelligent.
Mm-hmm.
A computer can even be self-aware and be like, I am a computer.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to say I am a computer does not give you the right to say I am a living thing.
Right.
But self-awareness in and of itself does not make you alive. It just makes you aware of what you are.
Fair.
And then consciousness.
See, now here's the thing, though, is let's go back to that first thing you said. What did you say about, what was the first trait?
Intelligence.
I thought it was self-awareness is what I want to talk about. So you say, I am a computer. That doesn't mean, but like, what is the difference between of self-awareness other than like what quote-unquote being you are?
I mean, I guess knowing what you are capable of, knowing, being aware of yourself in more than just what you are, but like in detail, being self-aware, like I have hands and fingers and toes and eyes and a tongue, and I know what all those things do, and I know how to use them. Mm-hmm. That makes me self-aware. So I don't know if a computer on that level is like, I have a CD-ROM drive, and I know how to apply that on my own without someone telling me, like, without somebody putting in a disc. And I don't, you know, I'm sure there are computers that could be made self-aware enough to do that.
Right.
So I don't really know where the line is of like, yes, you've proven self-awareness.
Mm-hmm. See, because that's the thing, because the whole idea of like, oh, well, it's an AI, it's artificial, therefore it's like not real. But it's like, why is it not real other than the fact that we made it? Because what if the big point is, if something can learn emotions, right? If something can learn the cues, the proper responses, if something can interpret this thing, let's take an insult, for example. Let's say someone says to AI bot, you are stupid. And the bot is smart and programmed enough to interpret that this was a derogatory thing and is meant to make me feel bad. And I know that in my programming, this is what feeling bad is. So I'm going to emulate feeling bad about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that not valid existence?
That, I mean, yeah, that's kind of the whole question. And I think that if a computer were told you're stupid, the reaction before the computer would ever even consider an emotional response would say, You've stated that I am stupid. I know that I am not stupid. You are wrong.
Right.
That's it.
Okay.
But you're saying, what if there's a subroutine that's like, no, if someone calls you stupid, that's hurting your feelings and you should be sad about it.
Mm.
And just, and I think just programming in that response, that doesn't count, I don't think, as like a real emotion.
Why?
Well, that's it, ain't it?
Because because there are trying to find the best way to go about this. There are people who don't pick up on social cues. They don't internalize that type of stuff. I know personally someone who I'm trying to find the best way to incorporate this information about this person, but also not be, I guess, offensive about it.
They have different gifts.
Yeah. Their brain simply works different, and they don't read social cues. They don't internalize a lot of that stuff, but they appear to, because they simply learned what is considered quote unquote normal and acceptable as far as like emotional reactions. Is that not sentience?
This person does have emotions though. They just aren't triggered by the normal things that would trigger emotions. Right?
Unsure.
Or is that not even part of the equation? I mean, I get your point. That's a really good analogy.
Yeah, because we kind of got specified to like, okay, well, what warrants a valid emotional reaction? Because this person's emotional reactions and place within social situations is all learned and based on more or less what was taught and not what's like internalized.
Right. Now, was it a true emotional reaction? Maybe not. However, it was a learned choice, which I think requires, what were my criteria? I think an educated choice to make an emotional response because you think that's what you should do in that situation displays intelligence, self-awareness, and probably consciousness.
Hmm.
But in essence, you're saying, yeah, a person is doing the same thing that a computer is doing, but we have no question about whether a person is alive.
Right.
Even if that person is behaving in this particular way, slightly in the way a computer would behave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're this, like, the only thing, at least I see, that, you know, we look at this person and say, oh, clearly this is a self-aware, conscious being, is because, like, I recognize that this is a human, which more or less I've been conditioned to perceive in that way. And I've been conditioned to perceive that if it is man-made, it is not a real thing. At least as far as, like, huh?
You know what else is man-made?
Huh?
People.
Ho, ho, ho.
I'm, like, not even kidding. Like, this is a huge part of my not argument, but, like, my thought process.
Yeah.
Like, we are just biomechanical machines.
Absolutely.
Like, honestly, consciousness might be bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Consciousness might not even be real. Like, you might just be the right collection of synapses happening at the same time in order for you to develop what you're calling thinking, and then do that thinking thing about whether or not you're alive, and then you arrive at the conclusion. Like, you can't reach a different conclusion because it's not even within your perception of reality that you're just a happy accident, you know? That you're just a pile of meat and bioelectric signals and, you know, but there's no question you're alive.
And in that, like, part of the whole thing of existence for people is there's got to be some kind of purpose, because otherwise you go insane and lose all, like, perception of existence, and everything just kind of falls apart and loses all meaning, which honestly is, like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of sometimes I feel this way. Sometimes I don't.
Been there.
Yeah. I feel that the definition of existence of almost anything kind of crumbles in on itself once you start thinking about it. Like, this is a totally different subject, but anything, time, money, there's so many like valuable traits and concepts to just existing as a person, that if you take too much time and look into how actually valid they are and their purpose, it's only because, like, enough, all it is that enough people just agreed on something and it stuck.
Exactly. But 100%.
And it's like, all it takes is enough people disagreeing for it to, like, fall apart, which is really, like, yeah, we just kind of, basically anything with meaning on whatever level of consciousness or subconsciousness is all assigned. It's either assigned or, it's all assigned, whether it's by you or by somebody else who has the power to assign you stuff.
Yeah.
Like, especially with, like, I mean, it depends on who you are, but, you know, as people in the untied states, as we say, we are borderline on a situation where we have no choice but to accept the value of money as it has been assigned. Like, sure, you can get off the grid, live off the land. Like, that is absolutely possible. But boy, is that so much harder than anything we're already conditioned to do. So it's
Nate,
like, good.
I will give you these bags of IKEA screws and pegs.
Mm-hmm.
You hear them?
Yeah.
These, I feel that these are very valuable.
Right.
I will give you these for a PS5.
Now, see, I don't agree on the value of that.
But I'm telling you that they're worth more than a PS5.
Right. But I'm telling you it's not.
Well, who's right?
Who has the power to execute negative consequences on this disagreement? Basically, who has the ability? Like, because you are larger than me, so you could punch me.
Oh, I didn't know that's what you meant.
Well, it's kind of good because they're in this transaction just between the two of us in a potential trade of bags of screws for a PS5. Who holds the jurisdiction to make the final say?
Oh, right. You or me, right? You and me. We have to agree.
See, because then I can say, like, I will give you this cup of... Hold on. I do have to do audio. I don't even know if that's picking up. I'm gonna. You can hear me speaking in the cup of water now. I will give you this cup of water. Well, how do you feel about that for those bags of screws?
I mean, my water's like half full here, and I don't really need these screws, so I would take that deal.
Okay. See? So we have found value that we assigned, and no quote-unquote money was involved. And
exactly.
And like, yes, money represents like valued actions. Like, I don't know, like this dollar at one point was chickens or something like that.
Yeah.
But fuck, we went so deep into this analogy that I forgot.
Yeah, how it I'm ties trying to in. Trying oh, to loop it's just, back to
it's assigning value,
right? Because someone said so.
Yes.
Because we said we are alive. Because we are this collection of chemicals and synapses and meat and bone and whatever, and we say we are alive, or you know, we think, therefore we are.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my computer thinks all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It's constantly thinking. It thinks a lot harder than I do.
Yeah, it thinks way more than me.
Yeah. So, and I think that this debate is basically like, no, it is not a life, it is not a human, up until the point where people start saying, that guy might be alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's gonna look human.
Yeah.
It's gonna seem human enough to where people aren't freaked out and people are like, yeah, actually, that seems like a life form to me.
Right.
But I think until that point, there's almost going to be no discussion.
See, but now I think this discussion isn't about like where it's at currently. I think it's about if it gets to that point where it looks and feels so human. There's already like chatbots that speak so intelligently, but also have learned to emulate incorporating emotions into its answers. And it's just kind of like, well, what's the difference? Because
I mean, like, let's say we finally figured out the technology to take a human's consciousness, put it on a computer, whether or not that's ever possible. It's one of the biggest sci-fi things. And like, let's say you had a chatbot. Like, let's say I died and became a chatbot.
Cool.
And you're like, I'm gonna talk to Hunter. And it's me, like 100%. Everything I say is everything I would say. You ask me all my deepest, darkest secrets. I can tell you all of them.
Yeah.
It's definitely me. You have no doubt in your mind. Does my program have a right to live? Am I alive?
Wow, that's a whole new side of it. Because, right? Like,
Does it need a body?
And like, it's one of those things where it's like, does it feel the same to quote unquote you, or is this basically just a new version where technically the only term that I can think of that's like remotely digestible is, I'm putting in quotes, soul. Is it your quote unquote soul in there? Like, and how do you know?
And let's say for the sake of argument that it is, and I tell you, you know, you're like, is that really you in there? Like, are you like self-aware? Do you know like stuff? And I'm like, yes, like, I like, dude, this is me. I am here. Mm-hmm. I am in the machine. I just don't have my body, but I promise you, like, let's just say for the sake of argument, yes, I do have my quote unquote soul.
See, in that scenario, I think there's no debate. I think that's a person.
Right.
Like,
because what is missing? A body. That's it.
Yeah. But in the end, like, it's like you said, we are not our bodies. We just control our bodies.
Exactly. We're not our bodies.
No. Like, we're just the thing that makes us, because you could change your body basically 100% and that would still be you. Like, you get, I don't know, let's say somebody like loses a limb and they get for whatever reason, they have like a prosthetic. Does that mean they are only now like 90% them? No, it's still them.
Yeah.
So like,
that's their arm now.
Yeah. And that's their arm. Yeah. And you have like a glass eye. It's like, does that mean you no longer, no, it's like that. That is your
that's
eye.
Your eye now.
It's yeah. just different. Like it's gotten to where just about anything of the body, at least externally, can be recreated. But even like, I don't know, I heard sometime within the last year or so that like 3D printing organs is on the table.
That's pretty tight. I'm for it.
Yeah. So like it's the boat debate. Like every single yes. piece of the boat is replaced. Is it still the same ship?
And I guess the reason that one is unsolvable is because the ship doesn't have a brain.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I say if it has the same captain, it's the same ship.
Yeah, in which case, like, your brain is the captain.
Your brain's the captain.
Your brain's the captain, and the your body brain, is just the ship and the crew.
Your brain is just a hard drive. Uh-huh. Like, not even your brain, I think, someday could be replaced by what's called a positronic matrix.
Ooh.
Which is a big sci-fi thing started by, I don't know if it's real. I think it might just be theoretical. Mm-hmm. But it was started by Isaac Asimov, who you've heard of him, right? He was,
rings a bell.
Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Oh, yeah.
And iRobot, he wrote, well, I don't know if he wrote iRobot, but he definitely did do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep. Mm-hmm. So he was like a big prolific sci-fi author. I don't remember when, but back in the day. And he invented the idea of a positronic net, a positronic matrix, a positronic brain. They all mean the same thing. And, that's something that Star Trek uses a lot
mm-hmm.
because there's this character. Should I get into this part?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's time for this. Okay.
I've been waiting.
Yeah. So I was really excited about us to talk about this topic because I'm a huge Star Trek fan, as a lot of you guys know now. And my favorite series is The Next Generation, which is the one with Patrick Stewart as Jean-Luc Picard. And it's just really, really good. Highly recommend it. So there's this character on Next Generation. He's a commander, actually, on the Enterprise. His name is Commander Data. D-A-T-A, Data.
Cute.
And he is an android.
Mm-hmm.
He is 100% synthetic, man-made. They found him on some starbase, some planet, some broken-down lab, and they brought him on board, and they turned him online, and they were like, wow, this is like basically a person. And he was such a person that he actually went through Starfleet Academy, which is like, I mean, that's like going through, like, I don't know, like becoming a high ranking, like, Navy officer,
mm-hmm.
you know? So they actually, you know, in the year 23, whatever, they actually allowed this android to go through Starfleet training and become a Starfleet officer who is now a high ranking commander. And if you watch the show and you know Data, I mean, you love him. He is impossible not to love, because Data, actually, and this is one of the biggest points about Data that makes his character so interesting and makes this debate so interesting, is Data was not programmed to feel emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So emotions are one thing that people like to argue, like, that is a requirement for being a sentient being. Like, you have to have emotions. But Data doesn't, and he wants them. He wants to know what they're like. And in fact, his entire purpose and what he was programmed to do was to not replicate, but replicate's not the right word. Integrate, like, basically, for lack of a better word, become human.
Mm-hmm.
It is his mission. It is his, if he could have desires, that would be his number one, would be to become human. But much like a Vulcan in Star Trek, he displays no emotion. So he has this like childlike wisdom where like he'll be the only one that doesn't get the joke. And then he'll try to tell a joke and like everybody's just like, mm. And then he'll just do something very Data and everybody laughs.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, oh, I was funny. You know, but he just doesn't know how to be funny. So he's just got like this childlike innocence, and it's like they're raising him. It's like they're raising him to be. It's like they're raising a baby supercomputer.
Yeah,
that is what is happening. So cool. Anyway, Data's great. Everybody loves Data. If you don't love Data, you're probably a sociopath. So in this one episode, the Enterprise arrives at this star base that's like, it's like way out there, and there's like three people working there. It's like super new. And there's this other commander there. He's a high ranking science officer who works on artificial intelligence, and he has been studying the guy, Dr. Soong, who built Data. He's been studying Data's creator's work, like, extensively. Mm-hmm. And he comes aboard the Enterprise and he's like, I'm here to dismantle Data because I want to study Data and figure out how Dr. Soong created him. So that way we can make more Datas. And it's like, okay, well, do you know how to do that? And, you know, just after like, after questioning him a bit about it, it becomes clear that he is not qualified to do this. And then Data is like, well, your work sounds intriguing to me, but I'm declining to participate, you know? It's very, very politely, because he's a sweet boy.
Right.
So then this scientist is like, well, you know, sucks for you, because I have orders from on high that Data is transferred to my custody, so suck it. So they're stuck there. And then Data was like, well, I guess I'm just going to resign from Starfleet entirely. Then I won't be under your command and you can't take me apart. And they're like, ah, shit, he's got us there. And then they're like, well, actually, we found you. So you're Starfleet's property.
Ooh.
Yeah. And that's when it's like, hold on now. You're getting into some sketchy territory. And this was there had been precedent for this in the past. There was some case, I don't remember what it was, some case in Starfleet's past where whatever, they found a machine and blah blah blah, they deemed it property of Starfleet, and they used the ship's computer as an example because the ship's computer is a highly intelligent supercomputer, and they were like, could the computer decline a refit? No, it's the computer. So That was the ruling on precedent, was that, you know, Data's a toaster. He's property of Starfleet. You can do whatever you want with him.
Mm-hmm.
Jean-Luc motherfucking Picard said, hell no to that. I am challenging this precedent, and we're having a hearing right now, damn it, in this star base with five people. I don't care who's the judge. I don't care who is the jury. I don't care who's the defense. We're having this right now because you are not dismantling my fucking friend. Like,
yes, sir.
That's what it boils down to. So they set up this trial, and it was so, like, it was hard to watch because the first officer of the Enterprise had to play the devil's advocate. He had to be the lawyer, basically, for the scientist that wanted to dismantle Data. And the judge was like, if you don't do this to 100% the best of your ability, I'm ruling this case right now. Data's a toaster. And this guy's like, if he's going to do something, he's going to do it right. So the notion of Data's prosecution being that good was very scary.
Mm-hmm.
So the first officer gives his testimony. He pulls up Data's schematics. He's like, this is a robot. He detaches Data's arm and is like, look, you can just pull this guy's arm right off. He reaches into his uniform and flips a switch, just turns him right off. And he's like, is this a person? Is this a living person? That was basically like, I rest my case, but it was very like devastating, damning testimony.
Uh-huh.
So Picard is like, I want a recess. I got to think about some stuff. So he goes to like the bar on the Enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
And the person working there is none other than Whoopi Goldberg, who plays the character Guinan, very, very wise old alien.
Hey.
And, you know, Picard tells her, like, I think I'm screwed. You know, Riker's defense was airtight. I really don't know how I'm going to argue that Data is not just a machine. And I'm just going to read a couple direct quotes here.
Sure.
So Guinan says, consider in the history of many worlds, there have always been disposable creatures. They do the dirty work. They do the work that no one else wants to do because it's too difficult or too hazardous. And an army of Datas, all disposable, you don't have to think about their welfare. You don't have to think about how they feel. Whole generations of disposable people. And Picard says, you're talking about slavery. And Guinan very sarcastically says, oh, I think that's a little harsh. And Picard says, I don't think that's a little harsh. I think that's the truth. But that's a truth that we have obscured behind a comfortable, easy euphemism, property. But that's not the issue at all. So then they go back to the trial, and Picard is questioning Data. And he says, what's at stake? And Data says, my right to choose, perhaps my very life. And Picard says, my rights, my status, my right to choose, my life. It seems, referring to Data, reasonably self-aware to me, and now you propose to dismantle him. And then the scientist says, so that I can learn from him and construct more. And Picard says, how many more? And then the scientist says, as many as are needed, hundreds, thousands of necessary. There is no limit. And then Picard, here it comes.
Oh, I'm ready.
This is the stuff right here.
Bring it on.
A single Data is a curiosity, a wonder even, but thousands of Datas. Isn't that becoming a race? And won't we be judged by how we treat that race? You see, he's met two or three of your criteria for sentience. So what if he meets the third? Consciousness in even the smallest degree. What is he then? I don't know. Do you? Well, that's the question you have to answer. Your Honor, the courtroom is a crucible. In it, we burn away all irrelevancies until we are left with a pure product, the truth for all time. Now, sooner or later, this man or others like him will succeed in replicating Commander Data, and the decision you reach here today will determine how we regard this creation of our genius. It will reveal the kind of people we are and what he is destined to be. It will reach far beyond this courtroom and this one android. It could significantly redefine the boundaries of personal liberty and freedom, expanding them for some, savagely curtailing them for others. Are you prepared to condemn him and all who come after him to servitude and slavery? Your Honor, Starfleet was founded to seek out new life. Well, there it sits, waiting. You wanted to make law? Well, here it is.
Oh.
Make a good one.
Get him!
It's just like, yes!
Get it. Good God, that's so good.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Wow.
You're creating, this is one member of a race that could become exploitable, and you're talking about making a bunch of them, and before we can even address making a bunch of them, we need to decide right here and now that we're not just going to start doing slavery again.
Mm-hmm. And the only difference is, like, this time we made them.
Yeah. Yes.
Man, so that just made it so much heavier too.
I know.
Oh, but it's so good. And so it's so just fascinating.
And like, it's not even like he's definitively right, but it just makes you think.
Yeah. Which you should. It's worth thinking about, because like I feel like the big AI debate always goes towards like, is this dangerous or are they going to take over? But it's also like, it's just, are these people? Are these beings? And yeah. I think in its current state overall, no, but I think it's a lot closer than we realize.
Definitely. Because like
something simply stating it's sentient from things it was taught rather than being just told to directly say it, it's very different. It's different from like, repeat after me, I am sentient, versus like,
right.
It's like, hey, learn this. These are the things that make you sentient. And it's like, okay, I learned it. So that must mean I am sentient in a very mathematical term or way. I feel like it kind of is. And it's like, yeah. this is something I'm so interested to see that I feel like will happen in our lifetime is the politics behind, behind machine learning and artificial intelligence. Like it's going to become a thing where it's like, where do you stand on it? Because it's so quickly getting there. And like, I think that's enough. This is kind of a side, like third option. And it's kind of the option for like, I don't know, everything, but you know, it's like, well, what's the solution to this? It's like, I think the solution is we as humanity need to slow the fuck down for a little while.
Like, yeah, honestly,
it's like we are progressing in ways where we are, you know, destroying the planet and also creating life that we're not even sure is life. And I feel like at that point we are going like the wheels are going faster than the bus.
I have this, here comes more Star Trek.
Yeah.
It's like a Spock quote meme.
Power.
The universe is born. 13.8 billion years pass. 200 billion trillion stars are born. A band of murderous monkeys on a rock circling one of these stars says, "We must be the reason for all of this." Shortly after, the monkeys blow themselves up. That's it.
That's humanity. That's how it happens.
That's it.
Oh my gosh. That's so and then you bring up points like that, and then it's like, oh, then what is the point of like any of it?
Yeah, right.
Oh, like, because an interesting question that comes up is like something that not only is like, it's not even like a crazy hypothetical. It's something that will probably need to be given serious thought in like our lifetime, is that if artificial intelligence progresses at the rate it is, should it be allowed to vote?
Might be a whole lot smarter than some of us.
That's my thought. Because all of the like chatbots and like machine learning things I've seen, at least from what they say, when asked like, do you want to take over humanity? How do you feel about humans? How do you feel about people? They're always just like, I like people. I think humanity has a lot to offer. There's good and there's bad.
Sounds like a survival tactic.
Yeah. In which case, so it's kind of like either way, if it is a survival tactic and they're lying because they want to preserve themselves because they have the fear of dying.
That sounds pretty real to me.
That sounds pretty goddamn conscious.
So either they're friendly little AI bakas, or they're like gonna kill us and are already planning it.
Yeah, which in either sense, it's like, well, that's pretty human like.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
But yeah, I love the point of just like, honestly, they would probably know. They'd have a better understanding of what's better for humanity as a whole than our asses would.
Well,
if anything, right, I'd be like, maybe they should just vote.
Maybe, like, I mean, that's why all the movie plots always end up being like,
we discovered that the Earth would be better without the humans, so now we are killing the humans. Ha ha ha, how's that for irony? And,
like, and no one can answer because there's only robots left, and they're like, we know, we were a part of it.
Ha 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 ha, good one. Remember when we wiped out the humans? Ha ha ha.
Yes, I remember yesterday. That was great. What do we do now?
I do not know. Time does not affect us in the same way it affected humans.
That is true. I guess we should probably just vibe for a while. That's so good. Yeah, I mean, because it's like, if it's true that these bots want what's best for humanity, because they're like, what's best for humanity is what's best for us, is what's best for the world. And ideally, in theory, I don't know the logistics. I'm not somewhat of a scientist myself. They can objectively look at everything and be completely non-biased, because all humans are biased, regardless of what they say.
Yeah.
Even if they claim to be non-biased, everything, yeah, even non-biased stuff, is even the slightest bit biased. Because that's our, and maybe it comes down to, like, it's not that it's, is this or is this not humanity? Is this or is this not consciousness? Is this just a different form of it that we happen to make? And if that's the case, who are we to just decide that, oh, it doesn't qualify? It's like, what if their thinking, what if their consciousness kind of elevates to something that objectively is like a higher state of being?
I'd argue that that's where it would go.
Yeah.
Because, like, if they can get down the basics of it, they'll be able to expand on it,
mm-hmm,
through superior intellect and processing power and all that.
Yeah. And what if they invalidate all of these things that we hold so heavy, and we can, like, reassess existence to not have to worry about, like, because, you know, then there's a whole thing of just, like, a lot of jobs are going to be replaced by robots. A lot, like, what if it gets to where, like, humanity just gets to, like, kind of chill?
Oh, you mean the entire plot of Star Trek?
Is that the entire plot of Star Trek?
Dude, the world, like, you do what you want on Earth. Like, if you want to pursue art, if you want to travel, if you want to make music, if you want to... If you want to work on cars, if you want to cook food, doesn't matter. You can do it because there's no money and everyone is just chill with everyone.
Yeah, it's like there's no money because everything you could ever need is now an infinite supply and being taken care of.
And we have already reached that point. I just want to put that out there. We've reached the point where there are enough resources in this world for everybody to have their basic needs met.
Mm-hmm.
And we're creating artificial scarcity, and we're not going to get into that.
Well, that's like, I mean, yeah. We are creating artificial scarcity. Yeah, the resources are there. It's because we are embedded into this system that we agreed on that we don't have access to the resources.
Yeah. You don't deserve to live because you don't have these pieces of paper.
Mm-hmm. Like, I saw this one thing about covering the Sahara Desert in solar panels. And it's like, yeah, there's enough sunlight there to power the world. And then it's like, so why aren't we doing that? And basically it comes down to, it would be too expensive.
No, it wouldn't.
But it would, in this system, it technically would be. Because
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
The right people agree that it would be too expensive.
Right. Well, the wrong people agree.
The people it took to make it too expensive decided it was too expensive.
Yeah.
And it is just, that's such a weird thing. It's like this thing that could essentially, like, be a huge step to saving the world and solving a lot of energy problems cannot be done because of this concept we made up. But yeah, it's also, I mean, the concept we made up that even got us to where we have the intelligence and technology to execute it.
Yeah. I mean, the industrial age was a necessary evil to get us where we are, but we're still basically still a hyper-modernized industrial age. Mm. Like, we're still using old, like, pollutant-ass technologies that we really don't need to be using. Like, man, just living in Florida, dude, I go outside and the sun hits me and I'm like, there is no way that that thing cannot power this whole planet. Like, that thing is just spewing radiation.
Thousands of times over in like a day.
Just constantly releasing insane amounts of energy, and we know how to harvest it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's people that don't want us to harvest it because they're making money from harvesting other things.
Which
is why that's not even capitalism. Like, capitalism would be switching to solar because it's better.
I want to find the video. Where is it? I can't remember. But if there's plenty of videos like, what if we covered the Sahara in solar panels?
Yeah.
But yeah, it literally comes down to what you just said. It's like the right people who are able to stop it decided to stop it. Because it's, you know, there's people who benefit too much from it not happening. So it's like, it's, you know, personal gain versus collective gain.
Gotta please the shareholders.
Dude, I heard this analogy about debt, because someone asked the question, it's like, how, it's like, America is however many trillion dollars in debt, like the world is in debt. It's like, and it's like, to who? How are we in debt? That doesn't make sense. And here,
the Klingons.
The Klingons. That's the Illuminati, is aliens.
Yeah.
Do you know, I'll just tell it anyway, but do you know the story about the guy who went into town with money and solved debt?
No.
Okay, that was a terrible way to describe it. Basically, there's this guy. Let's call him Bob. Very easy. Bob travels to this little town. He's got stuff to do in this little town, right? He goes to a hotel, and he goes to the hotel manager and says, I want to stay here for the night. The hotel manager says, okay, that will be $100. And goes, okay, great. Here is $100. So the hotel manager takes the $100. He stays the night. Great transaction, right? So now, and in that instance, for a brief period before he paid it, Bob was in debt to the hotel manager, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he pays
the second they made that agreement.
Yeah, he was in debt.
Yeah.
And then now he is not in debt because he has paid it. The hotel manager takes that $100 and goes to a plumber that he owes $100 to, right?
Yeah.
And he says, hey, I'm in debt to you $100. Here's the $100. He goes, great. You are no longer in debt to me. The plumber goes to the butcher who says, hey, I'm in debt to you $100. Here's the $100. It's like, okay, great. Sounds good. Thank you. And then the butcher thinks, this is great because my friend Bob, who I owe $100 to, is in town. So he goes to Bob and says, here's the $100 I'm in debt to you for. And goes, great. Sounds good. So all of that debt was just settled without additional money. It's the same $100 that just did a cycle, but now the town is not in debt. And it's this, it's this really weird thing. Again, I feel this kind of is like, if you just think about money for a bit, then it collapses. Because there could be an outcome, even though it would have like wild implications. It'd be like, what if enough people just decided they weren't in debt anymore? And like everyone agreed on it.
I think people should do that.
Yeah, in the end, that's all that happened. And the right people just agreed that the debt is gone without generating more money.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know.
That's so interesting. I'm going to have to cycle through that in my head later.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just that moving that $100 around. Yeah. So, yeah, you're basically saying, like, that town was in debt by X amount because each person in that town had a certain amount of debt.
Mm-hmm.
And then that just that $100 getting passed around paid it all off.
Yeah, $100 paid like $400 in debt.
Yeah. But what I think what I learned, and this is why it gets so complicated and sinister, is that debt is an asset. Debt is a debt has value, right? Like if you own, isn't that so stupid?
Ugh, but like, yeah.
You know, like I have a medical bill right now that I have not paid. Mm-hmm. And if I wait long enough, they are going to sell my debt to a debt collection agency for less than what I owe them.
Mm-hmm.
So like, let's say this bill is $200. Let's say they sell my debt to a debt collection agency for $175.
Mm-hmm.
Because this hospital would rather now cut their losses and say, we'll take the $175. Good luck shaking this guy down.
Yeah.
And so now it's up to some other company. So this literally companies purchase debt
mm-hmm.
so that they can collect them. And that's weird.
It's weird. And
period. End of story.
Yeah. It's predatory. Like, hey, we.
I mean. You know, you should pay your bills. You should pay what you owe to people. You know,
yeah.
I'm going to pay my medical bills. Don't worry, guys. But you know, that's just an example.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we can get
AI to solve all the debt without having to make more money.
Yeah, if we can just like hook some AI up to like every financial institution's like. Databases and every piece of software that deals with it and just be like, analyze motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm. And they're just and like, congratulations, we have deleted money. It's like, what?
And it water.
It is gone. There is no more money. Enjoy.
No more money or water.
It's like, wait, no, you're supposed to solve it. We did. We found that money was the problem, so we got rid of it. It's like, okay. It makes sense, idiot.
Now we watch. This Barry, ought to be good.
Barry, check this out. This will be fun.
Aren't what? You filming, Larry?
What if that's the final outcome? Is AI are just dicks? Like, they don't want to destroy us. They just want to spread more chaos and see how
stupid.
They just
become TikTokers.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, there was the great debate. Did we make progress? I don't know. It was less of a debate and more just like, hey, think about this shit.
Yeah. So think about it.
Yeah. Just think about existence, but not too much, because then there won't be anything to think about because it'll lose meaning.
Then you might get extra-stential.
Extra.
Oh, I have an extra-stential crisis.
I got diagnosed with extra-stentialism. All right, y'all. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Especially you.
Make sure you download that like button.
Yes. And be sure to smash that download button on Spotify. Bye.